Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where we have had spring showers today that are warm, not that cold rain of winter. So it's almost the 1st of May, and I know we got global warming, and this is the Deep South, but I think winter is finally over. Although, one never knows. All right, folks, we've got a lot to do today, and I have Dr. McGee on the phone and Stacy Both. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
There you go. Stacy, you there?
I'm good, too.
Boy, don't we just do great? All three of us doing fine. Well, this is a great time to be alive. There's somebody that's got the radio on in the background. We're getting feedback, so turn that off. We live in a very interesting time indeed, where it seems, you remember when we were little and we would watch all those TV shows and they would say, you know, crime never pays.
I'm going to hang up.
Clearly it does in the political arena and in other venues too. The corruption in our society is so great that it has put people in a very precarious situation because there are no values, there are no ways to say what's right and wrong, and here we are as believers, and we see even Christian people who are just kind of like having parts of their character whittled away by the encroachment of progressive worldview that considers us to be idiots. That's just kind of something that I've been thinking about. I just wonder, what do you think about that, Robert? Are you there? Well, I think we've lost. Rob, are you there?
I'm here. I went off one thing. It's not. I'm not doing the echo thing. Not me,
Stacy.
I'm here.
Is there something in the background where we're getting feedback, and that isn't a good thing? I don't hear it right now, so evidently it's gone. Go ahead, Robert. This is just a time where character counts. Having estimable character qualities is something that is a good thing, and yet corruption, deceit, fraud works. It's certainly working politically. And it works in business quite often. And it's like when justice and righteousness don't prevail, it just has this kind of sinking feeling that falls on people. And I think we get a lot of that here recently, more than we used to. We used to be able to at least believe most of the things that our elected officials would tell us. Now, if you believe, 60% don't believe that the president tells the truth hardly ever, says he'll lie no matter what. 60% of Americans, that's a lot of ennui in a nation. That's what I've been thinking about. Anyway, what do you think?
It's a lot of what? What was that word you used?
Ennui. Melancholy makes you feel, just dispirited.
Well, Jack, this has happened before. The problem, here's what the people do that want to maintain power at any cost. First of all, they redefine words. they can get by with whatever they want to get by with because of the definitions that they've given these words. And then secondly, and I've seen this quite a bit lately, a lot of people actually have become so disillusioned with everything that they consider that no one can really tell the truth. And I'm not talking about did that person tell the truth. I mean that there's no way for anybody to really recognize when someone is telling the truth. And so that makes them agnostic, many of them agnostic. And but I'm not so sure that they're getting away with it, right? I mean, of course, you're living in Atlanta, which probably is not the best spot in the world to be living in to make that judgment. But, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I think one of the things I've always observed about Satan, not referencing any one particular person, is that that he always overplays his hand, right? And a little bit is that he gets by with, and he just can't help himself but just drive it to the wall. And I think that is his undoing, and I think that may be what's undoing now for the people who quite frankly are not just in it for themselves, but I mean, they just don't even understand what they're doing, I don't think. So anyhow, that's my judgment on it.
I think that particularly when you were talking about definition, changing the meaning of words, several centuries ago when you talk about freedom, it was freedom from oppression, freedom to do the right thing, freedom to choose and pursue your own destiny. Now, it's freedom from restraint to justify and make right whatever perverted little thing you want to do.
Yeah, but see, Jack, that's my point about going a bridge too far. I just don't think that I've been in this business deal with this guy who's not the most ethical guy in the world, right?
And we were talking about him last week, the guy that would lie rather than tell the truth, which made me think I wanted his name because I may run him for office.
Yeah.
He fit right in with that capital truth.
Well,
go ahead, Robert.
Well, the point is that people who lie like that soon just lose all track of reality. I mean, we got people who think they're much bigger and more untouchable than they are, and they act like they're untouchable until they get caught in the system. And, you know, you have all these academic people trying to convince us that it's all is lost. I don't think it's lost at all. See, one of the things
I don't either.
One thing about those who believe lies, they don't get up early in the morning. There's no motivation. I mean, when you're believing a lie, you lose whatever motivation you have to get up and do something. So, I'm not at all. I mean, I am concerned about what's going on. I wish we were out of this. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal, not the editorial. You know, the journal is broken into two parts, really, ideologically. One is the editorial pages are very conservative. The rest of the paper is pretty liberal, pretty much like the rest of the newspaper industry. But this was very interesting. In fact, if our listeners want to look it up, it was an article on Ted Cruz. And it was this guy followed him around. And whatever you think of Ted, Ted doesn't take any prisoners. He does what he thinks is right, period. Forget about the rest of it. And so this guy following around, watched how the other senators treated him. And they really shunned him the entire day. Now, everybody thinks that he is too polarizing to ever win the White House. I don't think that's true at all. I think Reagan was that way. I mean, Reagan.
I agree with you.
And let everything fall by the wayside. So I don't know if God's going to bless us with that or not. And it's going to be such a huge mess. I mean, we have not seen. I was looking at an article today about this Democrat senator saying, "Well, we haven't seen the worst of Obamacare yet, right?" Well, I mean, people in the health care providing industry are really struggling. I know some people who are, for instance, who deal with children all the time, and some of them are pretty disturbed children. And all of a sudden, the policies that we're paying for their treatment no longer. I mean, some of these children were part of a system that paid for a long, long time. I mean, for a year or so. And these kids needed it. So I don't care what people say about it. And when you get caught in the system, you're just pretty much caught in the system, right? And we haven't seen the worst of it yet either. So.
Oh, no, I know that we haven't. It's, just very much like they're touting this great success that 7.5 million have signed up, but, they forget to mention how many have actually paid the premiums. Because, I mean, if everybody understands at least something about insurance, because they have to have car insurance, if you don't pay your premium and you have a wreck, you're out of luck. And, it's the same thing. Yesterday in the state of Georgia, there was, they let go of the figures. And there were 220,000 that have signed up for Obamacare, but only 107,000, less than half, have paid the premium. So this, my guess is that the over-under for what's actually paid for Obamacare is probably 3 to 3.5 million. And that's the real figure. I mean, this, who signed up for it? I mean, that doesn't mean a blessed thing. That's like buying a marriage license. Until you say I do and it's signed and notarized, you're not married. Having the license doesn't make you married, thank God. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, part of the problem for the providers is that someone can sign up, some people can actually pay their first premium. So they technically, I guess, under Obamacare. But they don't have to pay the second one. They can show up at, the hospital, which is the most expensive place to receive treatment. And a lot of the hospitals just aren't taking it anymore. They can't. They can't do it and stay in business. So there are a lot of shoes to drop on this one. And it's just going to be a horrific deal that's going to take place. By the way, I'd like to make a comment on that the show, the Bible. Are you familiar with that movie, The Bible? It was on television.
No, I never saw it.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
In my travels, I had a little bit of time and got caught on the channel, and it was showing the Bible, all right? And I've always been interested in seeing how they portray Jesus. Let me say this. There's going to be a bunch of people shocked when they actually meet the real Jesus, all right? because he just isn't this little milquetoast creature who speaks softly all the time, etc. I mean, he's very kind, he's very loving, but he's strong. I mean, my soul, he made the universe. And I just think they have a hard time coming up grasping who Jesus is. And that's unfortunate because a lot of people have seen it and think they have recognized who Jesus really is. But
well, they make him metrosexual. Half effeminate, half masculine. And, you know, with hair, you know, that most women would die for. So they do.
Yeah, well,
and you know, there's a carpenter. I've never met a carpenter ever that wasn't masculine. But at any rate, you know, that's also just part of the changing of words, the meaning of words. In our society, they talk about the assault on women. Well, I don't think there is an assault on women. I think that the assault is on men. And we have a nation that is determined to demasculize men. And, you know, when I was a little boy, I played with my cap pistol every day. I was, you know, a cowboy or an Indian, depending on the day, or, you know, cops and robbers. But now they take these things away from little boys and say, no, that's just terrible. And so they go sit on the couch and shoot bad guys with video games instead of actually playing. But, you know, they're just all kinds of things that try and make men women. If you look at a commercial, I defy you to find one where there is a middle-aged man that has the sense he was born with. He's always being corrected by his smart-ass little kids and his wife, and he's just a plump, little wishy-washy person, and that is what they're trying to make men into being. That's not a good thing.
Nope, it's not. So one of the things that as we see things decay around us, I think there's two things we've got to do. One is to have the basics down about who God is, who we are, what he's up to, etc. One of the things that is troubling in Christendom is when we try to make everything where it always turns out lovely, all right? When in fact, there are times that you go through hard times, all right?
And some people think we understand that
they shouldn't be going through difficult times when, you know, that's part of the course. So,
We have all kinds of errors in the society, and we have errors within Christendom as well. If you ask me, the entire prosperity gospel is a distortion, a cultic distortion of what the gospel teaches, because it's you know, you give to get, and that.
The other side of that is the teaching that that makes people afraid of God all the time, all right? Who do not anticipate God ever coming through for them, and so it's sort of a difficult thing to deal with, because if you really got down to what people are expecting from God to do in their life, you would find that most people are very negative about that one. At the same time, now you have people who are thinking that they can just name it into existence. It's like the woman I was traveling behind at VA. I may have mentioned it last week, where she had two relatively heavy sacks, one on each in each hand, and she was headed for the exit. And she was naming that bus was going to be there because these bags are heavy. And I mean, she appeared to be a very sweet woman. Now, I'm sure that she was dealing with the bags being heavy, wanting God to intervene so she didn't have to carry them, and believing that if she named it enough, that it would be there. And I can't fault her that much for this, because, quite frankly, you and I both know how many times in our life we've somehow come with some silly belief that the more times we pray, more times we say what we want, that God will hear us and come through. And so we just pray and pray and pray and pray. I have this dear woman who I really like a lot, even though she doesn't like me much right now. And she is convinced, because she was in a lot of prayer during a certain part of her life, that that's the reason it all turned out okay. Right? And I'm going, no, it turned out okay because of God's grace, period. No more than that. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who think, well, if I just pray enough and hard enough, et cetera, and things will could turn around and things will work out. I don't think so. I don't want to burst in the bubble, but that's, I mean, look, the soldier had his son was sick, came to Jesus, and Jesus said, okay, I'll go with you. And he said, you don't have to do that, just name it. I got people underneath me. If you declare it to be true, it will. And Jesus marveled that he had such great faith, because he didn't have to even have Jesus there. He had that kind of faith in Jesus that he didn't even have to have him there in order to know that he was going to come through for him. And I think that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to rest in him and enjoy where we are, be aware of where we are, and just go forward with life. So,
well,
that's what
I, you know, I think a lot of times people think that the fervency of their prayer, which ends up becoming a demand of God to do what they want him to do, and they call it prayer. I mean, I do that. I've done it. It really goes against, I mean, Jesus never demanded anything of the Father. And we're not to demand anything of the Father either. I mean, we're to see who he is and get in line with what he wants us to do. You know, some of it's confusing, but most of it isn't. Most of being a Christian is very easy.
Well,
but I think
it's up to us to make it happen, that's for sure.
Oh, if it is, we're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah. Some days deeper than others.
Yeah, some days deeper than others. Just we get that complete, oh, yeah, we know that. Well, Stacy, we're kind of getting down there close to being out of time, Stacy. So tell everybody where they can find some of our stuff.
Okay, our new website is mcgeeandme.net, mcgeeandme.net, and that's our beautiful new website. And our phone number is 800-460-4673. So,
and you know what? For people that have problems, you know, if it's for codependency, addictions of any kind, and you know, eating disorders, and you know, or not knowing who they are in Christ, or religious abuse, we got stuff for you know, just about everybody that isn't functioning the way that they really should be, as that you know, that aren't. You know, that don't have the abundant life. We talk about having an abundant life, but it isn't a reality for most believers. I mean, even close. And it's not because it isn't available. It's because they don't really know who they are. And,
okay.
You know, that's what all of our books are about. And, you know, we get them out there to people very fast. So, you know, that's a good thing. We got another minute left. Robert, you want to wrap it up with something?
Well, all I would say is oftentimes all we do is focus on what we don't have, what we're going through, et cetera, right? When the best way of dealing with difficulty is to praise God and to worship Him, and allow Him to be whatever He wants to be in our life. I just think we have come to some crazy notion that we control God or that we have to keep focused on it all the time. I mean, I can understand why people think they have to think about what they got to think about, and they got to think about it all the time, but I don't think that's exactly what faith is, right? So I really would encourage people, the first thing we got to do is know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're just not going to get there, right? And then once you know who you are, then you have the courage to face difficult times. And even though you cannot see a solution, doesn't mean that God has forgot about a solution for you. In fact, if you take a look at the things that He does, oftentimes He has been putting together solutions way in advance of your getting into this situation. I would just really encourage people to take a look at the problems they've gone through in the past and see how God has provided an answer and how that answer He put in place long before they even realized they were in that world of hurt.
Well, He sure didn't open the Red Sea till they got to it. On Good Friday, when Christ said it is finished and they put the spear in Him, it looked like God's plan was done and that, you know, Jesus would, you know, there would be no Christian history. So what looks like failure frequently is not, and it's just the beginning, and you know, it's God's timing and what He does, and it just isn't in sync with what we want it to be or what we think it should be more often than not. And you know, that's kind of the way of, you know, we have it about living in faith and everything. That's the way that one is, head blessed, folks. And here we are. And, you know, I want to say thank you for listening and say thank you to Robert and to Stacy. And as always, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. And have a great evening. Good night, everybody.